West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
James is there. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil's doing whatever Joe does back there.
He's over there
just
doing
vibing.
Things.
Hanging out. Oh, we're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Joe does a lot, and he does a tremendous job. So
and vibes,
to Joe.
Too. Vibes yeah, is also...
Oh, dude, yeah. Vibing constantly.
Absolutely.
We're the Insiders. We're here until noon. Then we hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Everybody on the radio, hello, good morning. Hi. Drive safe. If you're listening on the free Odyssey app, thank you. If you've not downloaded the free Odyssey app, please do that now. Makes us look good. Download the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show or subscribe to the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. I'm getting all this out the way up top. It's our podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast. And of course, everybody on YouTube and Twitch, everybody in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Keep the conversation going there as well. All right. So I have a couple of things off top here that are not related to the Pelicans Clippers game I got locked into last night.
Okay.
One thing, just real quick. This is a pet peeve of mine. And I'm trying to eradicate this from society, and I'm having a hard time with it.
Okay.
It's daylight saving time.
It's so horrible.
Saving. There's no S on the end. It's daylight saving time.
Okay.
Everybody says it's daylight savings time. It's not savings time. It's saving time.
So you're trying to eradicate people
saving
the S?
You're saving daylight. You're not savings daylight.
This is how I figured this out. Right now, this is me finding out there's no S.
Right. Yeah. No, it's not. And this is not to blame because it's just a thing. Everybody says it's like, I could care less. It's like, no, you couldn't care less. But everybody says I could care less. So everybody kind of just knows what that means now. Everybody knows what daylight savings time means, but that's not what it's called.
Okay.
There's no S on the end. It's saving time. Daylight saving time. The time that saves daylight. There's no S.
I want to eradicate it. It completely, like whatever it is, however, whether there's an S or no S, I don't want it anymore.
I got to tell you,
it's horrible.
I lived in Arizona for 2.5 years, not to brag. They don't move their clocks.
Nope.
I did fine.
They survived.
I also found out living in Arizona that Mountain Time is the best time to watch football. I used to think Pacific Time Zone crushed, but Mountain Time is a little better.
Okay.
Because you're going, because in Pacific Time, you're going like 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. When you go 8:30 to 9, depending on how long the game
yeah.
is, the Sunday night game. In Mountain Time, you're 11 a.m. until like 9:30 or 10 p.m. And that aligns much more with my interests. It's one extra hour to get up and do stuff in the morning.
Mm.
It takes you closer to bedtime for me. For me. Okay. I know that's not for everybody, but for me. For me, Mountain Time kicks ass. Big Mountain Time guy.
Interesting.
And for the first few weeks of the NFL season, you get Mountain Time in Arizona.
I've only lived in the Pacific Time Zone
for the last few weeks.
Entire life.
Yeah.
I've done plenty of travel, but living, it's only been the Pacific Time Zone. And I'm so used to it that I like the 10 a.m. start because you can get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll get up early and watch soccer.
Mm-hmm.
We can get a whole match in before the early football game start. And then, basically you get down at 8 and you got some time.
So this is where we differ. If I'm not having to write where inactives come out at 8:30 for a 10 o'clock game,
mm-hmm.
I'm up at like 9-ish. So when a game at 11 really gives that really extends the morning for me. So it's not like roll out of bed, feet hit the floor, I'm making coffee. All right, football time.
Got it.
Got a little extra time in the morning, but again, that's personal preference.
So my Sundays are different. My Saturdays are like it's the Hercule Durkle day. It's where we just like lounge
the
around.
What?
We've talked about this before. It's called Hercule Durkling.
We have not talked about
we
this.
We have talked about
I would
this.
Have no it's, chance.
It, we have.
It's I would a, have remembered you saying Hercule Durkle.
It's a,
that's insane.
It's a Scottish phrase
this is all new to me.
For basically you may wake up, but you just hang out and don't get out of bed. You just like sit there and like lounge around until
a lazy day.
A lazy day, but like in bed. It's called Herkel Dirkling. Yeah, it's an actual
where
thing.
You choose to Herkel Dirkle is your business. What's
that's
up?
Right.
The kids call it bed rotting now.
Yeah, dude, oh, bed rotting, yeah. Couch rotting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love a good couch.
Herkel Dirkle though, I might start using that.
See,
I am, yeah, not, no chance.
I'm introducing it.
That. Oh my god,
you're gonna say it to your wife. She's gonna be like, I like that word,
no,
and
I'm not.
She's gonna be like,
I will not be saying that to her. That is crude.
With the wife, yeah, we just chill. Well, sometimes like she'll get up and go to like gym class stuff, and then she'll come back, and
sure,
I'm still lounging.
We have sports to talk about. We might have we might have Lawrence Butler joining us.
Okay,
TBD.
Maybe, maybe not.
Sacramento A's own Lawrence Butler, who just signed a massive extension, could be joining us at some point in the 10 o'clock hour.
Okay.
From what I understand, because they play today at 1, he's got a pregame workout, and then the goal is he'll come off the field and call us, but if he does not get off the field in time to call us, then I don't know. We might be able to push it.
Okay.
But TBD, stick around. Find out if Lawrence Butler of your Sacramento A's is going to join us.
I'm here for it, whether he's here or not.
Salute to the A's PR staff. They do such a great job. The other thing. Real quick, these are just the things I think about when I don't have a ton of sports to think about. I think I've decided that I miss monoculture so much that anytime there's a monoculture type thing, I'm just going to dive into it.
Okay.
White Lotus, Severance, these shows that come out once a week and everybody kind of like watches, you know, together on the internet and everybody reacts and all the articles come out. I'm all the way in on that. I miss that so much. I miss sitting down on like a, whenever 24 was on. It's like, oh, Wednesday night, 24.
On Fox.
On Fox. We're locked in. Kiefer Sutherland, let's go. Jack Bauer, gonna save the world. Like, I miss that so bad because for a while, a show would come out on streaming and just all the episodes, and it'd be all about binging, binge watching, binge watching, binge watching. Well, now we've gotten away from that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where there are still bingeable shows. You were just talking about How I Met Your Mother. You just rip through all 9 seasons. Perfect bingeable
all
show.
All nine seasons.
Perfect bingeable
like
show.
Like a week.
Yep. Brooklyn Nine-Nine was one I like a lot. Like 30 Rock. Like, those are easy binging shows. But a show like Severance, you got to let it sit for a while. You got to sit with it for a while. White Lotus, hey, let's talk about what do we think the theories are with this guy? What do we think's going on with this group of people? Like it's so much more fun that way. And I'm now like, I wake up on Monday and I'm like, can't wait for Thursday because that's Severance Day.
Mm.
And I can't wait for Severance.
Okay, so I haven't caught up on Severance yet, but right. I do like White Lotus. We watched White Lotus last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like every episode, you're just sitting there like, okay, this is so awkward and weird. And I don't know what's going to happen.
It's so off-putting.
Yeah. Like everything about it, like I wasn't paying attention in one of the opening scenes when the robe scene. I missed that. And my wife's like,
you.
Oh, that was unnecessary.
Saw way more of Lucius Malfoy than I ever needed to see.
That's right.
Holy smokes.
That was unnecessary. Yikes. And I'm like, what did I miss? Should I rewind? She's
nope.
Like, nope.
Nope. Don't need to rewind.
Nope.
All right. You watched White Lotus last night. I also watched White Lotus last night. But before that, I tapped into Pelicans Clippers. Only game on the schedule that affected the Kings at all.
Okay.
Was Pel's Clips.
Yeah, there's a bunch of East Coast games.
Dude, the Pelicans looked really good. They played really well.
So you're saying there's
they
a chance?
They beat the Clips 127-120. I had a really good time watching that game because you had Zion, who had a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we talk about this a lot with Domantas Sabonis. The physicality that officials let defenders play with against Zion is insane. There was one where Chris Dunn's following him around a screen, and he gets hung up on the screen, so he just runs into Zion and just pushes him off his spot, no call, just barrels into him. As Zion was getting the ball on like a dribble handoff, just plows into Zion. Zion loses his feet, no call. Just insane, right? I hate that the NBA gets officiated that way. We're like, oh, smaller guy is on Zion or Domas or whatever. They can just hack away. They can just do whatever they want.
Yep.
And there's going to be no foul. I hate that it gets called that way.
Okay.
Or not called that way.
So you brought up Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn is the Moses Brown of guards. That dude is the biggest hack I've seen in the NBA in a long time.
Oh, like, man, I like Chris Dunn.
Like, skill-wise, Chris Dunn, like, I do like his offensive game, and he's an aggressive defender, but that dude, like, he slapped Trey Lyles across the face the other night so bad that it should have been looked at for a flagrant.
Sure.
And no, of course not, they don't, but you're right, man. Like, I don't get... I think that's why foul grifting is so infuriating for me.
Big time.
So, like, when I watch Shea, it's like, man, that is, for everything he does, they call a foul against.
Yeah.
And then you watch Domas play, and dudes are, like, just beating on the guy. He gets hit in the head repeatedly during the game, which anytime a player gets hit in the head is supposed to be reviewed for a flagrant foul.
Right.
They don't even look at it anymore. Right. They're like, well, we know, you know, then let the guy wear a helmet. Or well, let him wear like a spiked helmet, like so in case you hit him, like, oh, that hurt.
The thing is and I know we bring up Domas because he's here, but this is just an NBA-wide thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this about, say what you want about LeBron James. It's the same thing with him. You can get away with murder when that dude gets into the lane.
Yeah.
And he gets plenty of foul calls, so I'm not crying for LeBron James, but it is an issue with how the NBA is officiated, because you're right. So smaller guy gets matched up on bigger guy and can just grab and pull and push and hack and nothing. But Shea Gilgeous-Alexander jumps sideways on a jumper and creates contact with defender who has stopped. He creates a contact and he gets free throws?
Yeah.
The juxtaposition of that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
I don't like it either. And, you know, it's like someone sneezes in the stands and Shea gets a foul call.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Domas or, you know, Valanciunas, same thing.
Sure.
Even for that matter, Jokic gets hit all the time.
Yeah.
And there's just no calls.
Nope.
Yeah. It's weird.
I hate it.
Weird dynamic to the league.
I had two takeaways from the game last night, aside from the Clippers losing, which is good news for the Kings. Oh, the Kings now two back of the 8 seed. Two back? Yeah, two back of the 8 seed. No, game and a half. Game and a half back of the 8 seed.
Yeah, and so people know why that matters, is if you finish in the 8 seed, you have a 1-game shot to get moved to the 7 seed.
Mm-hmm.
If you finish in the 9th or 10th seed, the best you can do is the 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to win the 9-10 matchup in the play-in, and then you have to win the whoever loses the 7-8 game,
mm-hmm.
and then you're the 8 seed. So right. The best you can do if you're 9-10, the best you can do is 8.
Yeah, and you've got to win twice to get there.
Yeah, and that matters because the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are just incredible, waiting for whoever makes it to that 8 seed. Mm-hmm. And the number 2 seed, it could be the Lakers, it could be the Nuggets, but either way, it's an easier matchup than the Thunder.
Yeah. That's what we're tracking for now.
Mm-hmm.
Still hoping for the 6. You got to get to 8 first, and then you can track down 7.
Yeah.
And then we can worry about 6. But the Clippers, aside from their loss helping the Kings, there's two things I took away. One, their TV team is really good. Antonio Daniels, their color analyst, does a really nice job.
Yeah, I
had a blast listening to them yesterday.
Okay,
just because it's just on. I'm doing some work stuff. I'm working out and just really enjoyed. Like, I learned a lot about the Pelicans. Watching that game last night. So salute to their TV team. The second thing, you saw the signs of New Orleans being really freaking good again next year.
They keep pulling you back in.
They do, bro. They do. And I know, like, okay, look, it's baked in with Zion, the health thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get it. I know that you can't rely on him to be healthy. But when you see him healthy... When you see him playing like he did last night, playing, thanks to Antonio Daniels, I learned this, they changed his rotation last night where he used to come out like 7 minutes into the first quarter, and they extended his rotation last night.
Okay.
Presumably because they think he's healthy enough to do so now and has enough wind to do so now.
Okay.
And when you see him healthy and playing like he did last night, you understand why they keep hanging on to him. You understand why the allure of, all right, hey, if we get one healthy season out of this guy, he is good enough that he could carry us to a conference finals. Like, you see the allure. And I feel bad because I don't know if he'll ever have a season where he plays 75 games.
70.
70 games. I don't know, but I get why they hang on to him, and I get why they're like, hey, but maybe this will be the year, because you get Trey Murphy in there, CJ McCollum, Carlo Matkovich just figuring it out in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple of really nice moments last night with Trey Murphy, and then you get Herb Jones back. You got Jose Alvarado off the bench. That's a good group of players if they're healthy and playing together.
Well, they also have DeJounte Murray,
yes.
Yeah, like, no, they're a deep team when they're healthy.
Eve Misi looks good, the rookie.
Yeah. It was always going to be a down year when you looked at their stuff, but the Zion thing is just complicated. It's so complicated.
Everything with the Pelicans, I'm telling you now, my take on the Pelicans, if Zion is on their team next year, is they'll go as far as Zion does.
Like, okay.
That's it. They have a talented group, and if they're healthy, they're better than whatever they have, 16 wins or right now or whatever. But man, just watching them last night, because I think the Clippers are pretty good,
mm-hmm.
and watching them not dominate but really control the game the way they did, I was super impressed. Shout out to the Pelicans. Got a big win when the Kings needed them to. All right, the Bucks pulled a Kings last night. Does that mean they're going to fire Mike Brown? We'll talk about that. We've got some news from around the sports world. NFL free agency continues. Draft picks, the draft order is officially out. And no Kings today, but it's a huge night for them, and we'll tell you why. Coming up on the Insiders, and maybe Lawrence Butler, maybe the newest athletic to get an extension, will join us on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's pushing buttons on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Sac Hoop updates on ESPN 1320 are brought to you by Capital Casino, Sacramento's number one poker room, featuring breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the Capital Cafe and Restaurant. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're hanging out with you till noon. Hey, if you want to go to Aftershock, which I'm pretty sure you probably do, this is the spot to win tickets. The Rock Stations, the Eagle, KRXQ, 98 Rock, they're giving tickets away as well, but like everybody listening to those stations is going to want Aftershock tickets. If you want Aftershock tickets and you're listening to this station, we're going to have some for you.
Mm.
And it's super easy to enter to win. We're giving away 5 pairs of weekend passes to Aftershock 2025. All you have to do, go to the ESPN1320.com, go to the contest page, and you enter and you have a chance to win. You can go to Aftershock 2025 as a guest of ESPN 1320 and Danny Wimmer Presents.
Nice.
Yeah. Get your Aftershock tickets, man. Get them for free. Weekend passes. Saturday, Sunday, you're in. You don't have to worry about it.
Isn't there Thursday? There's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I took weekend passes to mean Saturday, Sunday.
Oh.
Is that what that means?
I will get back to you on that. But
can you hit promotions and ask?
That's a good question.
So, okay, thanks. Let me hit promotions.
We used to hit one-day passes.
If it's the GA, I'll take a look real quick, but if it's GA weekend, it's all 4 days, yeah.
Nice.
And that's right. What
good knowledge, James.
It confused me a little bit last year, but
count the weekend as the whole event.
Aftershock.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, dude.
So if it's only 2 days, we'll specify you get 2 days. If it says GA...
It says weekend passes.
Yeah, no.
General admission weekend passes.
I'll get back to you, but that should be all 4 days.
Okay, yeah. We're going to say 4 days for now with an asterisk. Or you can go to ESPN1320.com, go to the contest page and find out.
It might say something right there. It might tell you what you win.
All right. I have some... we got a bunch of Kings stuff to get into, but I have some 49ers takes to get off my chest.
Okay.
I need it to be clear. This is a conversation separate from, can the 49ers win the Super Bowl in 2025? Because right now, I don't think they can. But this is a conversation about the offseason and the just general freak out that's continued to go on about the 49ers not being super active in free agency. what's happening is a good thing. You want to have a roster where people want your players. That's a good thing to have.
Okay.
What you don't want is a roster where when you have a bunch of free agents, people are like, ugh, no thanks. Because that means you're probably not in a great spot. So the 49ers have been in a good enough spot that they now have these players who are free agents that are coveted. Hufanga, Greenlaw, Javon Hargrave.
Banks.
Aaron Banks. Right. The problem is, and we've talked about this yesterday, when you whiff on a draft like they did in 2022, and you whiff on a draft like you did in 2023, when those players exit, which is what happens in the NFL, it is so rare that you see a team with a bunch of dudes on second contracts. Like, it's super rare because players get expensive when they get off their first contract, if they're good.
Mm-hmm.
So when you already have Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, you're going to have Brock Purdy on a big contract. Did I say Christian McCaffrey?
No, you did not, but yeah.
So when you have all these big contracts already, it's really hard to then retain your dudes. And then they leave because they get more money elsewhere, which is kind of what you want. That means you have good players. Where the 49ers have failed is in ensuring that their cupboard was restocked before that exodus.
Yeah, the backfill.
Right. They've known this was coming. The problem is they don't have adequate replacements currently on the roster. So when you see all these players exiting and you don't see anybody coming in and you're going, what the hell? Why aren't they doing anything? That reaction is because they haven't done well enough in the draft and the rest of their roster is not very good. So that's why this is going to come down to, just like we talked about yesterday, cheap free agents and then the draft. And they're putting a lot of eggs in the 2025 NFL draft basket. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But this is the position they've put themselves in. And that whether that's a success or failure, you know, you can judge that for yourself. But this is the correct route to go.
Okay,
in my opinion.
So here's my question then.
Yeah.
Who's making the decisions on draft picks?
I would assume that's Kyle Shanahan.
Okay, so here's the problem. You know, like I think that they're going to do a really good job in the draft this year. And that's because their season ended really early and they had a bunch of extra time to sit here and go through sure. Senior Bowl, to go through watching additional college game tape and everything mm-hmm. else. But when you're in a run like the 49ers have been in, and you always look at like the fatigue that builds up with the players, I think the same thing can be said about the coaching staff and the front office and all that stuff. That's why I think that there should be a bigger separation of like church and state, where you have a group of people who are really, really pushing to work the, you know, to study the draft, to make sure that they're making the right selections. And I think it's possible that part of the fatigue of this team is, you know, once again, going again and again and again to the playoffs, sure. having your coach working, you know, 100 and something hours a week every single week during the regular season. And then you get to the end of the season and he's not ready to go dip into that, into the, you know, the college draft pool
sure.
so quickly. So I don't know. Like it seems like I'm not sure that Kyle Shanahan should be the guy who's making those decisions. He can be one of the decision makers, but I'm not sure that that's a good idea.
Well, it's kind of like he's just the final decision maker.
Yeah.
But I don't know on draft day, because there's a lot of voices, he's just the guy. It comes down to, if he wants that person, he's going to draft them. But on the other hand, if there's a person he really wants and there's consensus in the room that they should take player B instead of player A,
mm-hmm.
then I think they'll go that direction. But that I'm not 100% sure exactly how that dynamic works, but he has final say over the roster. I'm interested to see, because Adam Peters left and the 49ers had a little bit of shuffling in their front office.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Peters left after the 2022 draft, where the only really notable addition there was Brock Purdy. Seventh round, flyer, last pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Drake Jackson, non-factor. Ty Davis Price, non-factor. Danny Gray, non-factor. Spencer Burford might start this year, but has largely been a non-factor. He started at right guard, was not great.
Even if he does, he's probably at the end of his contract anyways. Yeah,
fourth year.
And you might lose him anyways this offseason.
Right, right. Samuel Womack, non-factor. Nick Zakel, non-factor. Kalia Davis, non-factor. You get it. 2023, same deal. You can go down the list. A lot of non-factors there with Jair Brown may or may not start. But then you go to 2024, their first draft after Adam Peters left. You get Ricky Pearsall, who limited action, looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Renardo Green earned a starting job. Dominic Pooney earned an extra $800,000 from the NFL for a performance bonus because he played so well at right guard.
Yep, and he's probably moving to left, right?
No, I imagine they'll keep him there. Guard. Yeah.
Okay.
Malik Mustafa wound up being a starter and being a good player. Isaac Garendo flashed at the end of the year, looks like a good player. So you have a draft class where you have possibly four starters and a couple of really good contributors.
That's not bad.
Right. That's what they need again this year. And that was their first draft without Adam Peters. So I think if you're looking for reasons for optimism, that's it. But at the same time, I mean, you know, you've covered a bunch of NBA drafts. It's the same exact thing in the NFL where, man, it is really hard to find like a sure thing.
Oh, yeah. It's tough. And it's tough to find, I think, you know, again, watching European soccer, like comparing what we see now to like European soccer is so strange because what they do is like you hire a new coach and then he goes out and he might not be from your league. He might be from some other league and, you know, right. Like
a Premier League team might hire like a coach from Serie A.
Yeah. So again, like so Manchester United cited, brought in Erik ten Hag, which you always, you know.
An insane.
And he's from Ajax. Mm-hmm. And so like totally different countries and everything mm-hmm. else. You bring him in and he starts bringing in his players. And then you realize very quickly his players, a lot of them that he brought in, they're just not Premier League players.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not good enough. They don't pick up on the pace fast enough. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden what they did at their lower level team, they can't do in the Premier League. And I feel like the NFL is a little bit more like that too, where you're always drafting for, like, who's the head coach? Who's the defensive coordinator? And then it becomes, like, very, very complicated mm-hmm. afterwards because, like, you go out and you get a bunch of, you know, three, four linemen and all of a sudden you're running a 4-3 mm-hmm. and half of those guys don't work anymore or mm-hmm. the linebacker situation. You know, so there's all of these things that can happen that don't make a lot of sense. But the 49ers shouldn't have that issue. The 49ers have had while their defensive coordinator position has been like all over the board, it's still the same.
Schematically, they've been the same.
Exactly, schematically. So that's where you start to look and go, okay, how are you missing on this? Because it shouldn't be that difficult to fill the voids in your system.
Right.
And they have. They've missed again and again and again. Even, you know, going out and getting these like speed wide receivers that always bust for them. That doesn't make a lot of sense, mm-hmm. right? Because you don't really play to that.
Right.
That's not the type of player that you usually have in your system.
Well, and if you're going to go get that player, and wide receivers are a great example, but pick any position. If you're going to say, okay, we're getting Danny Gray mm-hmm. because he does this thing really well, then find ways to fit him into your offense where he can do the things that he does well.
Yeah.
Don't go, hey, you're fast as hell. You need to work on A, B, and C before you can play. It's like, if that's the case, then don't draft him. If you're going to need this guy to do all this stuff instead, what's the point?
Yeah.
Draft a different player.
No, I totally get it. Draft the player for the position. Yeah. You know, I've talked about this with the G League. You don't go draft a guy who thinks he's a superstar and then try to convert him into a 3-and-D wing
right.
because he's not good enough to be a superstar at the NBA level. You should probably draft the guy who's been a 4-year college player who knows exactly what the job is, who did the exact same thing in high school, who plays who's a defensive player who shoots a 3-point shot.
Yeah.
Like that's so to
speaking of superstars who don't know they should be a 3-and-D player, Jonathan Kuminga returning for the Warriors tomorrow against the Kings.
There you go. exactly. Case in point, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's interesting because the 49ers are in such an odd situation where, you're right, they do have these, like, sort of pillars of their team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I think we missed Kittle, too, when we were talking about and the defensive back that got paid.
Yeah. Diomedur Lenoir.
Yeah, Lenoir, right? Mm-hmm. And those are draft picks that they hit on, mm-hmm. right? But the problem is that you have to have a constant stream backfilling.
That's it. You know? Can't whiff entire drafts.
Yeah, and you can't whiff at major positions because then you go out and you do like the Hargrave mistake.
Yep.
Where you go out and get a guy and you're paying him $20 million bucks a year or whatever it is, and he's just not good enough.
Yep.
And you've got to, you know, cut bait with him, and now you're stuck in a situation where you just can't replenish.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, really, really interesting like dynamic on team building and everything else. And I think it's how the Patriots stay good for so long because they didn't miss all the time in the draft.
Well, and if they, they weren't. Yeah, it helped to have Tom Brady, but they constantly evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And they constantly found guys who may not be superstars, but you know what? He does this thing really well, so he's just going to only do that thing.
Yeah.
Like that's what Bill Belichick was really good at with talent acquisition. But my point in all this is if you're a 49er fan, well, if you're not, you're probably loving this. But if you are, your angst should be directed at the 22 and 23 draft classes. That's the error here. The team is not making errors, in my opinion, by letting their free agents walk, by not overpaying to make sure they keep their free agents, by not signing a bunch of big name free agents, high priced free agents.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the right thing to manage the salary cap, because that's what we're talking about. Again, I don't give a rip what comes out of Jed York's pockets. That is not my concern. There's a salary cap you have to use
mm-hmm.
and that you have to be under. And so if they're managing the salary cap, this is the right way to do it. The ire should be pointed at the draft classes that they've whiffed that have put them in this position where they are now all eggs in the 2025 draft basket if they want to contend for a Super Bowl this year.
Because
they're still, like, after all this, they're still favored to win the NFC West. 14-1 to win the Super Bowl.
That's crazy,
right?
I would say
it's not as bad as it feels.
Yeah, and I'd also say, like, the one thing, if you look at their roster right now, all of the stars, every single one of them except for McCaffrey, was someone they drafted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Williams, Trent Williams.
Oh, and Trent Williams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But outside of that, everyone else, you know. They did a good job at some point of building this thing and of drafting the right players and developing in the right way.
No doubt.
They've got to get back to that. And I think when you go through a bunch of Super Bowl runs and all that stuff, you get to the point where your team is so good that in order for a player to get on the field, they have to be that good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't have like weak legs on a Super Bowl championship team.
Yeah.
And so you have to keep, if guys don't develop the right pace, you got to jettison them. You got to go away from them and hope that somebody else does. And then you have to start extending yourself and going out and finding more players out in the free agent market because these guys aren't working the way that they should.
Yep.
And so it's like it's a never ending machine that kind of eats itself if you're not looking out.
Yep. Joey Bosa signing with the Bills tells us a lot about where the 49ers are at.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Granted, the reported offer from the 49ers and the Dolphins was less than $10 million. He got 12.6 from the Bills, but again, we don't know the structure of that yet.
Mm-hmm.
It probably winds up looking more like a deal that's sub $10 million guaranteed. And if those numbers have come out, I haven't seen them, but he wants to ring chase. He turns 30 this year, so he went to a team that has a realistic chance of winning the Super Bowl in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
If the 49ers were loaded and they were the Super Bowl favorite, and everybody was like, hey, the 49ers have the best roster in football, I bet Joey Bosa signs there. But he was looking at that going, wait, I'm going to have to, like, start? I would be the second best defensive lineman they have? Oy! Like, I'm not going there for that. I'm going to go play in Buffalo instead, where I have a real chance to win a Super Bowl.
Well, then he signed a one-year deal. And if the 49ers are doing the purge this season, maybe he comes back around next season.
Maybe.
Like, hey, I let you guys heal up and you know, restock.
Wouldn't shock me at all.
And now here I am. I'm ready to play.
Right. I want to go play with my brother now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't stun me at all. But when I saw the Bills, it's like, oh, of course. He looked at the Dolphins and the Niners and went, I want to win. I've been with the Chargers my whole career.
Mm.
Like, oh, I've been just charging my entire life. I want to go somewhere where I can affect a winner. And so he did that with Buffalo. A team that might be the Super Bowl favorite in the AFC?
Yeah, maybe.
And then there's the Niners who are just like, eh, maybe they make the playoffs. I see why he chose Buffalo. I just don't think there's anything when we talk about like contenders. I don't think there's anything San Francisco can do this offseason that's going to make me think they're a contender.
Not at this point.
No, it's just going to all be on the field. If they draft a bunch of guys who, and three of them look awesome on the defensive line in training camp, and maybe they draft a corner who just looks awesome and a receiver who can contribute right away, then okay, maybe I'll feel a little different, but there's no draft pick they're going to make because draft picks can whiff just as easy as they can hit.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no signing they're going to make that's going to make me be like, oh, hey, that's a Super Bowl contender now. That's, but also, there's nothing that's happened that made me go, there's no chance for them this year. They still have a lot of good players.
Yeah. I mean, if they have a really, really good draft, that would be another moment too. Like if they, you know, again, if they move down or they move around and they mm-hmm. start acquiring the right player, everyone mm-hmm. like consensus great picks.
Sure.
Like you have an opportunity. And then if you get a couple of these young guys that you're waiting on to mm-hmm. you know, the Jair Browns and,
sure.
you know, which is a middle linebacker that they're.
D Winters.
Yeah, D Winters. Mm-hmm. If one of those guys like develops into the player that you hope that they would be.
Sure.
Then maybe you got a shot.
Sure. But all of this is stuff that we're not going to know until they actually hit the field.
So yeah.
That's where things kind of stand. Just got word that Lawrence Butler will be joining us after signing his extension with the Athletics. Lawrence Butler, fresh off the field from a morning workout, is going to join us next. We're going to talk some baseball. He's also an Atlanta Hawks fan. We got to talk some Hawks with him.
That's right.
It's been rough this year for our guy.
Yeah, but he's got to be excited about Dyson Daniels.
I bet he is.
Yeah.
But he's excited about his fat new extension, too. Can't wait to ask him. Lawrence Butler of your Sacramento A's. Great dude. Super fun.
Oh, yeah.
I think you guys are going to really enjoy rooting for him while he's here in the 916. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Joe Brazil. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is The Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
A's outfielder Lawrence Butler joining us in a few minutes. It's actually kind of funny. You know how yesterday we were talking about draft picks and the comp picks and when those would be dished out?
Mm-hmm.
They got announced yesterday.
I know, right after. I'm like, hey, when is that happening? You're like, yeah. I'm not sure. Then boom, it happens.
Projections were a little bit off, but not far. The Niners got four total comp picks. They have 10 officially. They'll have 11 once the Deebo Samuel trade goes through, which can happen today. I'm guessing the Samuel trade gets announced today. 1 p.m. is when that can become official.
Okay.
So the pick the Niners will get from that is number 147, one spot higher than we initially thought.
11 draft picks.
11 picks.
You need to hit, like, have competent players for at least, like, 6 or 7.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. Typically what they've done here when they've had, like, 11 picks is they'll trade up a couple times and they'll move around and they'll finish with, like, 8.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if they wind up just using 11. They'll move around a little, but you need a sizable draft class. A, just to fill out a roster.
Yeah.
And B, if you're taking swings on like an offensive lineman, if you're going to take a swing and you say, hey, there's this guy in the sixth round that hasn't been great, but we really like his upside. We mm-hmm. think he could be a project. Cool. Take him. I would worry less about having 8 picks and moving up and making sure to just throw as many darts at the board as you can.
Yeah, it feels like they need to, like their first couple of picks, they need to bulk up on the interior line on both sides.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, if they can get a top tier number one left tackle, you know, that they can move to right tackle for a year or two.
Guard, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing, but yeah.
Holy smokes. I just looked up the weather in Phoenix. Just kind of in the general area where spring training is. It is a high of 70 today and a low of 56.
Oh.
Weather in Arizona this time of year is crazy. It's the thing I miss. Spring training is the thing I miss the most about living there. A lot of things I don't miss about living there. But being able to like, yeah, I'm off work at, I work kind of a weird schedule. I'm off work at 2 o'clock and there's a game in Mesa at 4:05. Cool. I'm in there. There's a game at 7 o'clock in Surprise. Like, cool. I'm driving out.
That's why I loved working, I mean, in Berkeley. When I lived in Berkeley, like, it cost like $1.60 to take the BART to the Coliseum.
Yeah.
And then they had Coke cards, so you could get in and sit in the outfield for $1, and you can get a Coke for $1, and you can get a hot dog for $1. It's like spectacular. Like, you, like literally a $5 day to go sit out of the ballpark all day long.
That's the other, I think of all the nostalgic sports things, I think that's what I miss the most. Like $1 hot dog night. Or $2 Wednesdays or whatever. I feel like teams don't have that kind of stuff anymore.
No, because it seems like every time you do dollar beer night or whatever, like it becomes a major issue.
Doesn't have to be dollar beers.
That's true.
But just like, hey, $2 Wednesdays. You can get like an upper deck seat. Yeah, for $2.
Yeah.
Was it Matt Ishbia in Phoenix did the like a family, what did they call it? The value menu?
Oh.
Where, like, nothing on the menu is more than $5.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Like, that's a cool thing. More teams should do that.
No, I think so, too. I remember we had a dollar beer night at Arco.
Dollar beer night's insane.
Yeah, it got...
That's too far for me.
It just gets, like, out of hand.
That's rowdy.
They weren't very big beers, but it doesn't matter.
Still, dude.
Yeah. That's,
when Sac State's baseball team was in their conference tournament, it got played down in Mesa, Arizona. We went to the Diamondbacks game, and at the Diamondbacks game, they had a cart. This is not a special thing. It was like $4 beers. It was like $4 beers, but they were like, oh, they're only 12 ounces. Great.
Okay.
I'll take them. And the Athletics said, hey, you know what? We'll take Lawrence Butler on a 7-year extension. The A's outfielder joining us now, from Mesa. Lawrence, how's it going, man?
How we doing? How's everything going, y'all?
You know, it's going fine for us. Not nearly as well as it seems. Oh, he's gone. He left us.
Oh.
Just hung up.
We lost
That's
him.
Fine. He said, okay, there we go. He's coming back. Live radio, everybody. Lawrence Butler, we're doing okay. Not nearly as well as you're doing, man. How are things since signing your 7-year, $65 million deal?
How we doing, everybody? Thanks for having me on. And things, to be honest, have been a little crazy the past couple of days. But
really,
I mean, they've been chilling out. But you know, I've been glad. I've been happy. You know, family's excited. You know, I'm just glad to be here for a long time.
Excellent.
You know, it's incredible. You're the first guy in a long time to get one of these deals. It just not only eats up all your arbitration years, but then goes a few years past that. Just how crazy is that to be? Maybe what could be considered like the face of this franchise moving forward.
You know, it's pretty crazy, you know, especially because this is an organization I've been drafted by. You know, I went through every level. So, you know, I've kind of just been able to grow as a person and as a player with the A's. So, you know, it's really special that, you know, they gave me this contract to, you know, so I could play here for most of the years.
Is it one of those things where you get an extension and you know you're locked in, so... it makes spring training easier, or do you feel like there's a little more pressure now that they've, I like the phrasing James used, kind of made you the face of this team moving forward?
I mean, it's always pressure playing in the big leagues. You know, it's just, you kind of just got to go out there and do it every day. But, I mean, I'm a type of guy that embraces the pressure. You know, I love the lights. I love the pressure. I love the spotlight. And, you know, if it comes down to me being the last guy to, you know, win us the game, I would love to be in that position. And, you know, win or lose, you know, I'll take full responsibility of it. And, you know, I just want to be the guy that had the chance to, you know, put the team on top. So, you know, it's an amazing feeling just being, you know, a guy with a contract on the A's.
You know, Lawrence, when you took off in the second half of last season, you just had this incredible run in the second half. You finished with 22 homers. You finished with 18 stolen bases. Just what is it that you're working on right now to make sure that that's the player you are and that you cement yourself as a full-time major league ball player going forward?
Really, I'm working on every part of the game, you know, because I want to be a complete ball player. And, you know, last year was just a little glimpse of, you know, what I feel like I could do. And, you know, this year I hope to put on full display of, you know, all my tools and talent. So, you know, in spring training, you know, we kind of just working on everything, defense, hitting, you know, base running, you know, the full repertoire of the game. And, you know, I just want to be a complete all-around player.
What's the, as we're talking to Lawrence Butler, outfielder for the Athletics, what's the vibe in spring training this year? We got to talk to you guys a little bit at the Sawyer here before you headed down to Arizona, but what's the vibe in spring training this year versus last year? Because last year it felt like, okay, this team's got a chance to maybe make a little noise, whereas this year it kind of feels like, oh, they might really be about it. Like, we're talking postseason this year. Do you feel that vibe down there in Arizona?
Yeah, that's for sure the vibe in Arizona. I mean, everybody's on the same page of, you know, playing. It's October. You know, we don't want to just play to September and go home. You know, we all think we're a better team than we were last year, and we're a better team than a lot of teams in the league. So, you know, we kind of really want to get into playoff baseball this year and, you know, just kind of get our feet wet in playoff baseball. You know, a lot of us haven't played playoff baseball. We're a pretty young team, you know, a couple veterans. But, you know, we really want to get into October and, you know, really see what that's about.
Lawrence, we asked this question of Mark Kotze last week, but is there anyone that stands out to you that you're looking at, one of your teammates, that you're like, oh boy, this guy's got a chance to have one of those breakout seasons like you did last year?
I mean, we got a couple. I mean, I would love to say Tyler Soltz, Zach Gelof, Jacob Wilson, JT Jen. I mean, I feel like those guys, you know, put in a lot of work, and, you know, they've been showing so far in spring training. So, you know, I really feel like, you know, those guys are going to have a big year, even though Zach kind of established himself when he got called up. But, you know, I feel like he's really going to have one of those big breakout years where, you know, the whole league is going to notice that he's one of the guys.
I know you've been pretty busy playing ball. You've been able to follow the Hawks at all? They won four of their last five. Number seven seed, they're doing all right despite the injuries.
Yeah, I mean, I follow the Hawks on Instagram. I watch all their games, you know, and we I went to a lot of them this past offseason, so oh, I nice. Got to go to a lot of them. I went to the first game of the season, and yeah, I love the Hawks. I mean, I'm just glad we're gonna be able to get into that playoffs. Usually, when we go to the playoffs, we make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. So hopefully, we can get past the Eastern Conference Finals this year, and we can get into the finals. So we'll see how they do.
who's your player there for the Hawks?
Trae Young. Ice Trae. Trae the dope. I like Jalen Johnson now too. He's pretty good, and I love our first rounder. He's been playing really good this year.
Reese Hoshea?
Oh yeah, Reese Hoshea. Yeah,
Reese Hoshea, he's been playing really good this year.
Yeah.
Well, hey man, good luck at spring training. Good luck this season. I'm sure we'll talk to you down the line. Congratulations again on the contract extension, and go have a good game tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you so much. See you
Thanks,
later.
Lawrence. Yes, sir. Lawrence Butler, A's outfielder, one of the best. Super easy guy to root for.
Yeah, he's going to be dynamic. Yeah. Absolutely dynamic. And like what he was able to do in the second half of the season last year is just crazy. So most of the stats that he put up all came in the second half of the season. I like that he's saying that Zach Gelof is turning the corner. Zach Gelof mm-hmm. had a really, really bad start to the season last year mm-hmm. after a breakout rookie campaign. He led Major League Baseball in strikeouts with like 198.
Yeah, it's tough.
It was tough absolutely for a second baseman. That's crazy. So hopefully he's tightened up the swing a little bit.
Yeah, he started naming players there, and you just see like, man, this is something the A's have always done. It's never been about can they get good players. It was whether they could keep the good players.
Mm-hmm.
And now they not only have gotten a bunch of players who look like they're trending in the right direction, are able to keep some of them around. So we'll be following the A's very closely here at ESPN 1320. Season begins later on this month. All right. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Joe Brazil. I've been struggling on Underdog lately, and I'm going to have you guys help me build my lineup tonight. I have a bunch of options I'm going to throw at you, and I'm going to let you guys help me pick. And I'm going to try and get on the winning track that way. We'll do that next. No Kings today either, but huge night for them. We'll tell you why. Coming up next, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm.
Kyle just lost his mind.
We're hanging out with you till noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they'll take you up to 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. The Insiders is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. No, there's just an email chain happening in Odyssey right now that apparently nobody wants to be on. I've gotten like 9 consecutive emails that says, I'm not the right person for this question. Please remove me from this chat. Or from this email thread. I have no idea.
I'm glad I was never put on the email thread.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. I can't wait to go ask the person that's involved what this is about, though, because it's really killing me. Here's another one. And it's from everywhere. It's not just Sacramento.
Oh, no.
Here are the markets we have involved in this so far. Hang on. Stand by. We have New Orleans.
Oh.
We've got...
New York.
National Promotions.
Yep.
I don't know who this person is from or where this person is from. We got Philadelphia. We've got, somebody else national. Springfield. Nice. This is great.
Oh, wow. I think I am on this as well.
Yeah.
Somebody just emailed everybody.
Come on.
Wait.
I think there's like a group that got emailed.
Yeah.
And everybody that's in that group is like, I'm not the right person to ask.
Somebody just responded, unsubscribe.
Yeah, there was a couple people in there a little rubbed the wrong way by this.
Yeah. That's what's so funny. It's like, why are you mad?
Aren't we all coworkers?
You're right.
Yeah, we're all friends.
And it's very clear this was not sent to you specifically.
Yeah.
If it does not regard you, delete it. You have to be mean about it.
No, how about everyone replies so that way a bunch more emails keep going?
Oh, buddy, we break at 16. Bet your ass at 11:16 a.m. you're getting an email from Kyle Madsen.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm replying all.
I can't wait. Yeah.
I might just, I got to think of a good joke.
I absolutely hate group texts.
Sure.
The biggest thing with group texts is the Apple Watch.
Where it just starts, you can't silence it?
Well, no, it just,
I don't have a single group chat with the notifications turned on. They're all silenced.
It doesn't ding. It just vibrates anytime I get like my wrist, like it vibrates like
yeah.
Like anytime you get like a text.
You can't make that not happen?
Maybe, but I don't know. I try to duck out of every single one of those emails.
Good to know. I'll stop putting you in ESPN 1320 group chats.
We just keep getting.
Do we have an update?
More emails.
This is hilarious.
It is awesome.
Hey guys, unfortunately, the wrong market. It was all the markets.
Everybody.
Stop the insanity. We do not have access. Oh my God, this is so funny. Okay. This is only a problem because everybody keeps replying to say to stop replying.
Yeah, what is going on? This is snowballing.
Are we not in on a? Is there a bit happening that we're not in on?
Maybe.
I guess.
Yeah, we can ask.
That's crazy.
The best part is that the source.
Sacramento.
We can get to the source.
We're gonna go ask the source.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can't wait. Big 12 championship. By the way, we're locked in Cincinnati, Iowa State. Iowa State up 8. 10 minutes to go in that game. This is the time of year where I'll start watching college basketball games. That was a nice play. Kessler Edwards looking guy. Never mind. This is the time of year where, like, if Iowa State pulls away in this game, I'm just going to be convinced to pick Iowa State in the bracket a bunch of times.
Oh.
If Cincinnati comes back and then they wind up being in the bracket, I'll be like, wow, I watched Cincinnati come back against Iowa State. I'm picking them to win their first matchup.
See,
this is how I do this. This is my very scientific method.
I'm totally going to get messed up by, like, I told you yesterday, I was sitting. Me and my oldest went to lunch. I look up at the screen. I'm like, hey, Cal's playing. And they're playing Virginia Tech in the ACC championship, like in their tournament, the ACC tournament. And I look up. I'm like, oh, yeah, Paige's son is on this team. And next thing you know, Andre started hitting like 1-3 after another. And
how many did you finish with?
He had 29 points.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was spectacular. 11 of 20 shooting, of course, you know, Jesuit's own.
Yeah.
Andre Stojakovic. So, yeah, just absolutely spectacular breakout game for him. I don't know. He's 20 years old, 6'7" wing. I don't know if he's going to be in the draft this year or not. He's a transfer to Cal from Stanford. He played at Stanford last year, and then of course their head coach left, and so he moved over to Cal, playing for Mark Madsen.
Nice. Yeah. Think he comes out of the draft this year?
There's a chance. I think what he'll do is he'll test the draft waters this year and see what they look like. And if it's something that makes sense and they think he'll go in the first round, they'll probably leave him in the draft. If not, he'll probably go back to school for one more year.
We're all rooting for him, right? Like, he's just going to be a guy that we all root for, unless he winds up with, like, the Lakers.
No, you should totally root for him. I mean, it's Peja's son.
Right.
And he's a Sacramento kid. He's grown up here. And,
yeah,
you know, salute. Like, I don't know why it says his hometown is Carmichael, because that's Sacramento. Like,
if we learned anything about the NBA draft this year, it's to draft the Sacramento guy.
The Sacramento guys are way better than you think. He's had a rough shooting year. Andre has at Cal. He's shooting like 30% from three, and like 41-42% overall. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a rough transition year, but you know, he's still averaging over 16 points a game and long, athletic. Yeah.
Big night tonight for the Sacramento Kings. They're not playing, but a bunch of games are going to impact them in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers, of course, the team directly ahead of them, lost last night to the Pelicans, and now they have to hit the second night of a back-to-back in Miami against the Miami Heat. So there's a chance that the Clippers lose again, and the Kings, without playing, gain an entire game on the Clippers. If you root for the Kings, you are a big Miami Heat fan tonight.
Oh, yeah. And the Heat aren't very good.
The Heat are not a good, not that effective of a ball club.
No, they are.
I don't feel awesome about their chances to win tonight, but it is second night of a back-to-back for the Clippers.
Yeah. Of course, the Heat have lost four in a row. They're 29-35 on the season.
Fine.
They're going to be a play-in team no matter what, because the 76ers are, you know, seven games behind them in the total, seven games in the loss column, but seven games overall. They're the team that's on the outside looking in, but you never know. Plus, I don't know, did Kawhi play last night? Because if Kawhi played last night, he might not play tonight.
Ah, good point.
Because I don't think he plays
Kawhi
on back-to-back.
Kawhi was good last night, too. He was really good last night. He's starting to look like Kawhi again.
Yeah?
Yeah. Clippers might be a little dangerous.
Well,
I mean,
their schedule isn't that difficult.
TBD on whether they can keep all their dudes on the court, but if they do,
yeah. It's crazy.
Say that about the Clippers for the seventh consecutive year.
It's really crazy that like a 47-year-old Nick Batum starts over Derrick Jones Jr. Because every time the Kings play Derrick Jones Jr., he lights them up. I mean, he's so good. You're like, what in the world? How is he good now?
And he's just always open in the corner.
Always. And he hits every single time. I've seen him shoot.
He hit so many big threes the other night.
Yeah.
There was one.
Torched the Kings.
He hit two where it was like exact same play. And he hit it shot from the exact same spot and did the exact same celebration. I was like, is this a replay? Did I miss something?
Weird. Weird.
Nick Batum, only 36.
Only
36. Big winner of the Court of Gold documentary for me. I was neutral on Nick Batum. Now I'm in. Big Nick Batum guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still need to get back to that.
You do.
I do.
Really good.
I know.
You're going to like Nick Batum a lot.
It's funny. Derrick Jones Jr., when Monty McNair took over the Kings, right? And you got to remember, it's the really weird transition year where everything is pushed back into like September, October, because of the pandemic. The first player the Kings called, they got the first interview via Zoom with Derrick Jones Jr. That was the guy they were trying to chase. So it's not like they haven't tried to go get that type of player. Mm-hmm. But he was coming off, I think, a couple of years in Portland, I want to say. No, he went to Portland. Maybe it was Chicago, and then he went to Portland, then back to Chicago. I can't remember where he started his career. But he's one of those guys that the Kings have looked at and tried to get early on in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, like, he developed last year out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, good for him.
Clippers Heat is the game I'm locking into tonight, so that's where my underdog lineup's going to be.
Oh?
I want your help with this.
Okay.
Download the Underdog app. Promo code Kyle M to sign up. Unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus credits. Here's what I'm looking at tonight. Bam Adebayo, 33.5 points, rebounds, and assists. That is something that what I do on games like this is I just pick the thing I want to follow.
Okay.
And Bam Adebayo, points, rebounds, and assists against Ivica Zubats. That should be a fun matchup. Do we want to go higher or lower on 33.5 points, rebounds, and assists for Bam?
That just seems really low. Bam on the season is at 18-10 and 4.4.
All right, so about 32.
Wow.
So I agree with you. It feels like a low number. And every single time there's a number where I'm like, that's way too low. Give me higher. The person finishes with 17-7-2.
Yeah. I don't know. After watching Zubats play the other night,
good again last night.
Yeah. I think that Bam's going to have a tough time like hitting those numbers.
Okay. So we'll go lower on Bam.
Okay.
James Harden, 8.5 assists.
Ooh, he's starting to cook with the assists. What do you have? 18 last night? 17 last night?
Got a bunch.
Yeah. I'm going to go, higher.
I am too. Because I think that's something the Heat are going to game plan for is like get the ball out of his hands. And James Harden is just a really effective player. If you're going to, he threw a couple of dimes to Zubats last night that were just sick. I'm kind of out on James Harden as a player,
mm-hmm.
but there's no denying his talent offensively.
He's still great.
Freaking sick. So I'll go higher. I'll go higher on James Harden assists, 8.5. Tyler Hero points plus assists, 27.5.
Okay, so let me think. That's a tough one.
So I part of me wants to lean under.
Uh-huh.
Or excuse me, lower. Part of me wants to lean lower on 27.5 points and assists for Tyler Hero because the Clippers are so capable defensively. They have so many different guys they can throw at a guy like Tyler Hero. But at the same time, every team throws what they can at Tyler Hero because he's the only major offensive threat on the perimeter, and he cooks anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to go higher.
I am too.
I mean, on the season, Hero's averaging 23.8, and he's averaging 5.7 assists.
Yeah.
Those are really good numbers.
I need him to get 22-6 tonight.
22-6. Okay. But now I'm
panning. 21-7?
I'm panning back to what Zach LaVine looked like. And was it the second night of the back-to-back, or was it their defensive scheme where, again, Zach LaVine only had 10 shot attempts?
That was against the Knicks, though.
Oh, no, you're right. That was against the Knicks. And Zach LaVine went for 30 against the Clippers.
Right.
I'm going higher.
We're going higher. I need 24-4. Could I get 24-4? 23-5? I like that. I'm going to go higher. And then Zubats, higher or lower than half a double-double?
Half a double? What do you mean?
Does he get a double-double or not?
Oh, yeah, he's getting a double-double.
Getting a double-double.
Yeah, he's rolling right now. Although it is second out of back-to-back, but I think he's rolling.
Lower, higher, higher, higher. Great. Yeah.
I think the problem with Zubats, the matchup there for Bam, is that Bam doesn't shoot the three ball, so you're really playing to the strength of Zubats.
Right.
Letting him stay in the game longer than he might.
Yeah, and hang out in the paint.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
That's a game I'm locking into tonight. Clips Heat.
That's a good game. My lineup. Should be a good game.
Would love for you to all play along. I'll do the read later. I don't want to keep talking about this right now. I'm done with Clippers Heat. Suns at Rockets. Are you pulling for the Suns or the Rockets if you're the Kings tonight?
Pulling for the Suns.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
trying to drop the Rockets down.
I think there is a possibility, but I don't know. There's so much separation at this point.
Or do you just want to keep the Suns as far away as possible? That's my thing. Eliminating as many chances for the Kings to fall to 10.
Well, fall out of the play-in. That's the worst case scenario, but sure. I just don't think that that's going to be the case with Dallas sitting in between you and and again, I don't think it really matters. You're talking about a one game play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we do want the Suns to keep losing because you would much rather play Dallas.
No.
If you're the Kings, you would much rather play Dallas.
In a one game setting, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right. We'll root for the Rockets.
That's right.
Mavs at Spurs. De'Aaron, please help. The Spurs need to win.
Yes.
They need a Mavericks loss. and the Mavs just beat the Spurs 133-129 two nights ago.
Man.
We need a Spurs victory tonight.
I'm surprised De'Aaron has not shut it down yet. I think we're still waiting for that moment.
It seems like he's soft quitting.
It does. I think
quitting.
There is a moment, though, that I think that he's going to go in for surgery, and there's a date that they've already sort of discussed, but they haven't.
And he's just going to play until then?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So the pinky, again, that pinky should have been operated on early in the season.
Yep.
And the only reason it wasn't was because the Kings were in, a playoff hunt.
Sure. So. And then we've got Wolves at Nuggets, obviously pulling for the Nuggets in this one. You need to see the Wolves, the seven seed, get knocked down a little bit. If the Wolves win this one, though, they've been playing really well. If they beat the Nuggets in Denver, I'm going to start taking Minnesota very seriously. I've been hesitant all year because I don't like their pieces, but it looks like it might be starting to come together a little bit. And if they go into Denver and win, going to be hard not to take them serious.
Okay.
But you're rooting for a Nuggets win. Pull that seven seed down a half game.
That would be a good thing.
Big night tonight for the Kings. All right. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jim Garfinkel in the Chatty House asked a dynamite question regarding the Kings' record against teams that are 500 or better. It's not good. We've talked about it, or teams that are better than 500. We talked about it yesterday, but he asked a great question about it moving forward that I would love to get into next. We will do that on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
It is March college basketball time, which means I have new copy points from Underdog. Grab your phone and your dancing shoes. It's time to make entries on March college basketball with Underdog. Nothing beats March basketball. Bring the fun of a bracket to every game day by making entries on Underdog. Hey, that's legit. I'm going to stop right here. I don't want to do the bit of reading the copy points verbatim anymore. That's facts, because I am terrible at brackets, which means by like the second or third round, I'm done.
Mm.
And so the games are less fun that way. With Underdog, I'm going to be able, every game, every dribble of the basketball, every pass, every shot, every score is going to matter to me. So I'm still going to do my little bracket thing. But when that inevitably, my bracket's busted after the first or second round, I will still have Underdog to lean on. And you should very much do the same. It is going to enhance the March basketball experience. And it's not just college. You can do college. You can do NBA. They've got all your favorite teams, all your favorite leagues, all your favorite players on Underdog. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus credits when you make your first deposit. God, it's a great deal. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus credits instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Void where prohibited. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text next step to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Zach Hoop updates on ESPN 1320 are brought to you by Capital Casino, Sacramento's number one poker room, featuring breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the Capital Cafe and Restaurant. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kyle here, James there, Joe over there. Coming to a Little League coaching clinic near you. Should coming out at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We have a lot of fun at the breaks. Quick update on our email thread. It's over.
No.
All message went out saying stop.
Yeah.
Everybody stop.
When we got the all caps, what did the email say? If you missed it earlier, somebody in error sent a message out to like company wide, and it began this reply all chain of people asking to stop replying all, or saying that it's the wrong market or the wrong station or whatever. And then somebody sent out an email to that same group. Subject line, all caps, everyone stop replying all, please. She sent this email in error to everyone. And then the message is That same thing, all caps, with thank you.
Thank you.
So I decided not to reply all.
I was going to ask if you're going to, I mean, that'd be a bold move.
Way later, like after the show.
You could wait, and then it would, I don't think it would, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, give it an hour.
Wrong market.
Give it an hour.
There was like 17 replies, 16 replies. That didn't go long enough. That should have been, they should have let it go like totally astray.
One day, one time when I was in San Francisco at the Odyssey station there, 95.7 The Game, salute, shout out. Somebody got like some promotion and they sent out a company-wide email or a cluster-wide email saying, cluster is the collection of radio stations. They sent out a cluster-wide email that was like, congratulations to so-and-so on their promotion. And a bunch of people started replying all. And a host who will remain nameless replied all like, hey, this is nice, but can you please stop replying all? Which, of course, led everybody at 95.7, without talking to each other, to all replying all. Every person who worked at 95.7 sent a message like, congrats, wow, great job. We had a really good time with that.
That's amazing.
Shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. Jim Garfinkel in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. That's a great question that we're going to go through.
Okay.
Said, hey guys, I know Chris Biederman is dead to you. That's facts. Thank you for acknowledging that, Jim. But he showed a stat of the Kings being 11-21 against teams 500 or better. I believe the stat is above 500.
Okay.
With 11 games left, against teams that are 500 or better, what's the over-under? That's a great question.
Whew.
The teams currently above 500 that they have left on the schedule. Golden State. Can you pull up the standings and confirm some of these for me?
Okay.
Phoenix is not above 500, correct?
No, Phoenix is a 30-35.
Okay. Memphis is. Cleveland is. Milwaukee is. Boston. OKC above 500?
Yeah, just a little bit. 41 games above 500.
Orlando is not, correct?
Orlando is currently 30-36, but the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference.
Indiana is.
Yes, Indiana is 36-28.
Washington, so close, but not quite.
13-51. They're only 38 games away from 500.
Got Washington and Charlotte in consecutive games. Cleveland above. My Detroit Pistons. Above 500, Denver and the Clippers. 11. Okay. What are we setting the over-under for the Kings on wins in those 11 games against teams above 500? Setting it at 4.5.
Yeah, I would. You might set it at 5.5. But yeah, that's tough. So we have 11 games. How many games are left? 18?
18.
So 7 games against sub-500 teams.
Yeah, and 2 of those are Phoenix.
Okay. Boy.
And Orlando, who's tough.
Yeah. But then you have a couple
of Portland, who's playing well.
Yeah, and Portland is playing better.
Better, yeah.
Boy.
I'm setting the over-under at 4.5. Because of these 11, you have the Cavaliers twice.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't see it. Maybe you get them. Like, it's the NBA, any given night. And then you have Boston, who, of course, you've already beat this year, but they might take you a little more seriously now.
Uh-huh.
And then you have Oklahoma City the next night.
Oof.
I'm taking those 4 off the board, which leaves us at 7. And then I knocked off 2.5 from that. 3.5 from that. Down to 4.5.
Okay, I'm with you. It's 4.5. But like, again, I think the second to the last game of the season, I think you can beat the Clippers if that game doesn't matter.
Okay.
Again, Denver, super
probably
late
for seeding.
April 9th, Denver's already won the season series. They probably will have locked up the 2 seed by then. And I'm going to say there's a possibility. Yeah. Cause LeBron's out for, you know, a week.
Have we discussed the gravity of that yet?
No.
Like, that's a huge deal.
It's a huge deal, but I mean, I think they're saying 1 to 2 weeks, so there's a possibility that not only will he be back in time to save the 65 games and continue his What's he got, a streak of 20 or 21 consecutive All-NBA nods?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's something crazy.
Is that right? Didn't he have a year recently where he didn't play a bunch? Did he still make it that year?
Huh.
Oh, my God.
And I'm looking at that. The Cleveland at Detroit. That's tough, man.
He has been All-NBA every year since 2005.
Yeah.
That's insane. I was in ninth grade. I was a freshman in high school when this streak started. I have graduated high school. I have graduated college in 5 years. I liked it so much. And now I work here. I'm 34 years old. And LeBron's just been an all-NBA guy the whole time.
That is wild.
Yeah, he made third team the year he played 55 games.
I think we're going to find out a lot about who the Kings are right now. Like, this next two-game stretch right here, where you've got Golden State on Thursday, followed by Phoenix on the second night of a back-to-back on Friday, that's going to tell us, like, who they are going down the stretch. Like, we just saw one of the worst games that they've played all season long, and certainly one of the worst games they played under Doug Christie. What do they look like coming back? They have 2 days rest. They're getting Domantas Sabonis back likely. Like, we're not sure yet, but there's a good chance. He got Malik Monk with a couple of days of practice. You know, Jake LaRavia will probably be healthy by then. So you get to this game on Thursday. That's such a huge game. And then a back-to-back, you got to come back and play the next night against Phoenix in Phoenix. Like, what do you look like?
I think that is we'll learn a lot against Golden State. But they're also, what do we say, 12-2 since the trade deadline?
Yeah, they're really good. I think they're 9-1 in their last 10.
Yeah, they've been playing really well. So even if you come out and just play well against Golden State, and I'm expecting them to. Because we harped on this yesterday, but Doug, after the Knicks game, saying that's not us, I think he's right, and I think you're going to see a much better version of the Kings on Thursday. Does that result in a win? Don't know. But if they just play well on Thursday and then go in and get a win Friday against Phoenix, it'll all feel like, okay, a little bump in the road there where you have a tough loss to the Clippers, and then second night of back-to-back, you lose to the Knicks. Play well against Golden State. Just couldn't get there. You lost three in a row, but a back in against Phoenix, you win on the road, second night of a back-to-back. That's impressive. Then you get the weekend to come home and get ready to play Memphis and Cleveland.
Yeah, that's the one nice thing. They do have a break before they have the Monday game. But it's going to be tough. You got Memphis followed by the Cavs, followed by the Bulls. The Bulls should be a simple game. But then you have the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Thunder in three games and four nights, including a back-to-back at home against the Celtics and Thunder. Is that the worst back-to-back you've ever seen?
That's pretty brutal, dude. The two finals favorites? Just back-to-back?
Yeah, just back-to-back. Oh, they're at home, though.
Great. You're gonna start that stretch by playing Milwaukee on Saturday.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Three games in four nights, right?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Saturday, Monday, Tuesday against Milwaukee, Boston, and OKC.
Yeah, that's tough.
Good God. The one of the like common refrains over the last couple of seasons that we've had with the Kings is you have to win like these winnable games, and it's never been more important than this stretch, because your games against teams that are not above 500, you got Phoenix twice, Chicago, Portland, Orlando, Washington, Charlotte, Phoenix. If you're taking care of business in those games, in those seven games, if you go 5-2. That gives you some leeway if you drop back-to-back games against Boston and OKC, like you're okay. You've got a cushion. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you're going into that Milwaukee, Boston, OKC, three games, four nights, where like, hey, you have to go 2-1. You need to go 2-1 in these three games. Figure it out. Because that's a very, very tall mountain to have to climb.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that three-game stretch against the Bucks, OKC in Boston.
Can you get one?
I don't know if you can get one.
Like, that's going to be the hope.
Yeah, the hope.
But that's okay. Like, that's what I'm saying is you go through that stretch where you go, okay, 1-2. But if you've beaten Chicago and you beat Memphis and you beat Phoenix or you beat Golden State, now this is all about giving yourself cushion for that stretch for me. You've got five games against Golden State, Phoenix, Memphis, Cleveland, and Chicago. Can you go 3-2? And I don't know if they can.
They're going to have to steal a couple of games against teams above 500. Yep. I mean, again, they're 33 wins right now. We said they have seven games against sub 500 teams, but
if you just win those, that puts you at 40 wins.
Okay,
which you need to go 3-8 against the other teams, against the 11 teams above 500.
Okay,
you got to go 3-8 to get to 43, which I think comfortably puts you in nine.
You're either 9 or 10. Like, but if you lose twice to Phoenix, you're in trouble. Although you're in trouble of being the 10 seed, I don't think there's any way Dallas is going to hold in.
Yeah, I don't think Phoenix and Dallas are both going to be good enough. And frankly, I don't think the Kings are going to be so bad that they're going to fall off so far that both of those teams leapfrog them.
Yeah.
So I'm less worried about falling out of the play-in. It's more just can you win enough to get up to the 7 or 8 seed? Massive question mark for me.
Mm-hmm.
But B, Can you at least host the 9-10 game? Can you make sure that you're not going on the road twice in the play-in just to earn the 8 seed where you're going on the road for 4 out of 7 games against OKC? That is not a scenario you want to put yourself in.
No. No.
Mm.
It's going to be tough. And, like, look, Dallas is so beat up. It's I've never seen anything like this. Like, their injury report is, like, Anthony Davis out, Daniel Gafford out, Jaden Hardy out, Kyrie Irving out, Kai Jones out, Derek Lively out, Olivier Maxens Prosper out for the season, PJ Washington is day-to-day, and Brandon Williams is day-to-day, and the same with Dante Exum. Like, this is just wild. They went into a game the other night where they got down to eight, where they started a game with 8 players. They had, in the third quarter, Brandon Williams pulled his hamstring.
Kessler Edwards.
Kessler Edwards, and I can't remember who else. They hit heads, and both had to go get stitches. And they got to a point in the game where they only had the 5 players on the floor, no one else. And then Kessler Edwards was able to come back at the 6-minute mark of the fourth and give them a 6th person, but with stitches. God. It's wild.
What a cursed season. I'm setting the over-under to answer the question that started this segment. Over-under on wins in the 11 games against teams above 500. I'm setting it at 4.5. I think you can get Golden State to get to 5. It'd be Golden State, Memphis, Indiana, Detroit, and then one of Denver or the Clippers. That gives you 5.
Okay.
The rest of them are Cleveland, OKC, and Boston. And Milwaukee. I think you can get Milwaukee too. They're going to have to play really well.
Yeah, you're going to have to play really well to get to 5. And, like, if you somehow got to 6 and then you made no mistakes, if you got you had 6 wins and you made no mistakes against sub 500 teams, which there are some good teams in there, that puts you at 13 wins and puts you at 46. Interesting.
46.
I don't think they win 46 games. My guess is 44.
Okay.
So 11 they and should be a, that, oof, that 11 they, and 6. I don't know.
I think they can. Maybe I'm a sucker, dude. Maybe I think too highly of what these dudes are made of, but
I just moved to 43.5. That's
like
my
if
guess.
You had, but if we had done this exact same conversation after they beat the hell out of San Antonio, I think it would be a little bit different. Because we'd be looking and going, man, that Denver game, they were in control. They could have won. If we had done it after they lost to the Clippers.
If they would have beat the Clippers, if that shot wouldn't have gone in.
Right. If Kawhi Leonard's shot bounces away from the net instead of into it, we're going, all right, hey, you've already beat the Clippers once. Like, the conversation is so different just based on like a bounce of the basketball. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt and be like, there's no reason they shouldn't be the 6th seed. Like, that's far off for now. But you start talking 44, 45, like, all right. I'll be the optimist here.
Okay.
You can get to 45.
Kyle's the optimist. I didn't know that was going to happen today.
But boy, you lose to Golden State. What I fear is you have a really tough loss against Golden State, because I do think they're going to play better, and I don't think Golden State's just going to wipe them out. But if you have another game where it's just a brutal loss on the front end of a back-to-back, where you now have to go to Phoenix, who's trying to fight for the 10 seed, and you're on the road, second night, back-to-back, that's where I start to get concerned. Because if you drop both of these and now you lose four in a row, now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Now now we're like, all right, how do you hold on to a 10 seed?
Yep.
So, fingers crossed, man. It's going to be really exciting. Playoff games, basically, playoff atmosphere the rest of the way for the Kings. And I think that's going to be the theme of the rest of the season. He's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We have the handoff coming up. One of D'Lo or KC will be jumping in with us next here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, that's him, 25, right? He definitely has a name on the back of his jersey.
The entire name is on the back of the jersey?
Yeah, for sure. There's no way. It's probably just small print.
It's got to be
look. See, it goes. That's all the way across of his shoulders.
They've got to abbreviate it. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
It's a lot of letters.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 letters.
Man.
Does he really have a 16-letter last name on the back of his jersey?
He definitely does. I'm buying you one now.
Is it stacked?
I think you can do that with NIL. Yeah. Two lines. Hyphenated.
Oh, my gosh.
Get to the handoff with Damian Marling here shortly on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Damian, hey, hello. Good morning. Hi.
I wasn't sure if you were in commercial or on the air. I couldn't tell.
Yes! Sorry, I was late. I've wanted to do that for... thank you. Wow. I've wanted that to be the vibe.
Oh, very good.
Because you guys do such a good job of that. Where I'll literally be in here. I hear you guys go to break. I sit in Studio One before my Friday hit with you guys. Mm-hmm. And I'll hear you go to break, which is my cue. I'll go, okay, I'm in there. So I know you guys are at break when I get in here. And there's been days where it'll be like 8 minutes into my hit. And I'm like, hey, are we on?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no signal that we're actually on. So that makes me happy that the vibes were such that you didn't know if we were at break or not.
Most definitely. Most definitely. You're killing it.
Thanks, man.
Oh, our guy just had a big bucket.
Nice. Yeah, that's him. Nikita Konstantinovsky, for sure.
Nice.
We're locked into Big 12 basketball and ACC basketball today.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
Been our big thing.
Nothing wrong with that.
The Kings have 11 games left with teams above 500.
Okay.
Teams currently above 500.
Okay, 11.
Setting the over-under at 4.5 wins in those 11 games. Would you like to hear the teams?
Sure.
Golden State.
Yep.
Memphis.
Yep.
Cleveland.
Okay.
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Boston. OKC.
Jesus Christ.
Milwaukee, Boston, OKC. 3 games in 4 nights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indiana.
Okay.
Cleveland. Detroit. Yeah,
Cleveland twice. That's great.
Denver. Detroit's and the Clippers.
Denver, the Clippers. 4.5?
4.5.
I'll take the over.
Okay.
5-6.
5-6. Okay.
I'm going to take the under. 4-7.
I think you can get Denver, LA, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you could get Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can get one of the big ones. Pause. I think you can get the Bucks, the Thunder, or the Celtics. I think you could get one of those.
What about the Warriors?
Yeah, I think you can get Golden State.
I'd feel a lot better about it.
The gettable ones are...
I don't feel great about that game tomorrow. But I never feel great about Warrior games, like, ever.
Yeah.
Never do.
The games I think that I'm going into it going, oh, they can win tonight. Like, they can... It's the NBA. Anybody can win on any night.
Yeah.
But Golden State, Memphis, Milwaukee, Indiana, Detroit, Denver, and the Clippers. That's 7 of those.
Mm-hmm.
The Boston, OKC, and the 2 Cavs ones, if you get one of those 4, 2 thumbs up.
Yeah.
But that means there's 7, I think, that you go in and you're like, okay, you can get this one.
Yeah.
Not they will, but I think they can. And I think they're going to play better against Golden State tomorrow. Again, does that lead to a win? Don't know. Golden State's playing really well right now, so
yeah,
it just may not matter.
I just don't love that. I just don't love Warriors games. I just
because of number 30,
pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty much why.
Yeah,
but we'll see. They've had good, you know, they've been pretty good in terms of like bouncing back. You know,
right?
You
have
you know, I think the New York game, notwithstanding, I think that's tough. The circumstance of that game, the double, you know, the doubleheader, the back-to-back, I think that's tough. I don't think the New York Knicks was the bounce-back game, you know, even though the Clippers game went the way that it went. The bounce-back game is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's a tall ask, but that's the one. I definitely have my eye on that one. Plus, it's the first night of another back-to-back.
Right.
You know, you have all of the, you have like this series. This is like the second of a series of like three back-to-backs and you know, a week and a half span or whatever. So this is it's stretch a little bit. It's playoff basketball time for Sacramento.
That's it.
Like you're going to be a part of this or not.
That's it.
And where are you going to be? Like I'm confident they're going to be a part of it in some way, shape or form, but is it one and you're in or are we having to do what we did last year?
Yeah.
I feel like they really turned a corner with that the four game win streak, you know, the win against the Rockets, wins against the Mavs. I thought they played Denver really, really well. I thought they played, you know, the game against the Spurs, totally professional win. And then you get to the tough game against the Clippers. And to be honest with you, I thought it was a very, very good game. If they play with that intensity tonight, I think that
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Sorry. Tomorrow night against Golden State. If they play with the same intensity and the same sort of like force that they played in some of these other games, I think that they can beat both the Warriors and the Suns. I think they can beat Memphis. I don't know that they can beat the Cavs, but I know they'll beat the Bulls. Like, so that puts you at least at a good stretch here of games. But if they don't come out with that intensity, if they come out and play soft like they did against the Knicks,
I don't feel like they played soft against the Knicks. I think they just couldn't. Maybe they did defensively.
I felt like they punted pretty early to me.
Maybe. I felt like the game ended pretty early.
That's it. You were down 15 after one. You're on the second night of a back-to-back. They just hit everything. You hit nothing. It's like, all right.
Yeah. I think they regrouped at halftime, made that one run, and then saw it immediately go away, and then it was over. I think they knew. That was our. We came out throwing haymakers. We're gassed. This is over.
Yeah, and it's immediately back to 15.
But I never I thought it was more of just. I thought they had some good looks, particularly early in the first or not early in the first quarter, but particularly in the first quarter, probably the second part of the first quarter. And they just didn't fall, and that lead just started stretching, and then maybe it's what you said, they kind of punted a little bit early.
Yeah.
It was 15-14 they were down, and then they just stopped, like, going to loose balls. Like, the ball bounced out of bounds twice. They let a Knicks player just run around them and go scoop up another one. Like, they just stopped moving. It looked like their feet were stuck in concrete. And then OG Anunoby just said, oh, you guys aren't playing that hard. I'm just going to run through you guys.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, I kind of looked at this game and said, it was a little bit of soft loss.
Yeah.
I think if they play with force, I think they have a chance in, I think they have enough talent that they can be competitive in every game.
Force meaning like aggressiveness?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. Like when they come out and play the way they did against the Clippers, like they played against the Clippers, like they needed that game.
Yeah.
If they, And we've seen them play like that against bad teams on front ends of back-to-backs, back end of back-to-back. Like, we've seen that. That's just kind of been their calling card under Doug Christie. We can complain about the roster all we want.
Yeah.
It's like they have enough talent that when they play hard, they're at minimum competitive.
100%.
And so if you can get that down the stretch, if you can ratchet up your urgency to match the moment, then I don't hate the idea of going 5-6 in those 11 games. But if you're going to have – if you're going to – maybe play really well against Golden State and lose, and then lose on the second night of a back-to-back in Phoenix because, like, oh, well, we're on the road, it's a back-to-back, schedule loss or whatever, then I don't love that mindset going forward.
Oh, yeah, no. I don't think that's a mindset they have.
I don't think so either.
I think it could be a mindset you wind up in midway through the third. You know what I mean? Like, sure. if Kevin Durant has 32 And you can't, like, it's one of those, like, it's the McBride threes thing. It's, I don't.
Yeah.
What am I, like, what do we do? Yeah. Like, I can visualize that. But this team, especially under this coach, has been, they've been tough and they've mm-hmm. been responsive. And hopefully they'll be the same tomorrow on national TV.
That's what I think we're going to get. Maybe
and
I'm
it's
wrong.
Tough. Like, what? I hope so. I mean, is the number right 10-0 with Jimmy Butler in the lineup?
No. Not 10-1?
Is it 10-1? 12-2 since the trade deadline. They're 10-1 in their last 11 games.
Yeah, I think
but Jimmy didn't play in the Philadelphia game. What's the other game that Golden State lost, and did Jimmy play in it?
Because
I thought they had won 10 straight with Jimmy Butler.
I'll look right now.
Yeah, look at that.
Saying that, I feel like Jimmy only missed one game.
I think they lost one with Jimmy. I think it was the Mavs.
Okay.
They have, they lost to the Mavs. You're right. Okay. Yeah, the
12-2 since the deadline.
And Jimmy played in that game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The game he didn't play was Philadelphia that they lost.
My mistake.
And what's his name went for 40? Quentin Grimes?
Oh, that's
right.
Right. Quentin Grimes game.
Do you know how frustrating it was? Because the Kings game was on that night. I'm watching the Kings. And I'd go check the Warriors score every once in a while. I'm looking at the box score. I'm like, he's got how many?
That's
got to be wrong. That's got to be off. That's got to be Maxey.
Did you see Tyrese's shot last night?
Yes.
Spectacular. Did you see how many he finished with?
No.
He finished with 14 points. He had 10 points prior to that shot going in. That was his game. But he walks away the hero. That was an incredible shot.
Do you think it was a foul?
I didn't. So we were watching it. Casey and I were watching it at Sky River, and they were I saw Giannis. Like, we can't hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw Giannis, and I was like, "Did they call a foul?" Mm-hmm. And they show the replay. I was like, "Oh, there's no foul." And then he goes to the line, and I'm like, "Oh my god, this league is tough.
Yeah,
this league is brutal."
In that spot to blow the whistle.
Oh man! Wow.
And there wasn't enough to overturn Jesus.
That was tough.
Good win for the Pacers, though.
That was a hell of a win for the Pacers.
Big time.
Yeah, it was a hell of a win.
What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and Casey?
Probably a lot of this. I think we have some differing opinions on Stephen A's appearance on Jackass's podcast, so we'll talk about that.
He was on Draymond's podcast?
No, the other Jackass. Oh. No, I don't. Draymond's whatever. I can't. Gilbert Arenas makes me sick.
Oh, like, dude,
I wouldn't listen
to
Gilbert Arenas for anything.
That guy sucks.
But he was on the podcast, so I listened to him. You know, I listened to his phony explanation about LeBron James, and him and I. It's very clear by our prep sheet we do not agree on this. So it should be a interesting conversation.
Should be a great time. D'Lo and KC coming up next. James and I done for today. We're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water. Be nice, people. Bye.